Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise to God. It's on this great, wonderful day. This is the show, When Christians Speak. I'm your host, Reverend Ray, broadcasting live to you from the Washington, D.C. area. In the background, you hear the song, I Want to See Jesus by Deborah Wilson. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus. Broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. on this great and wonderful Sunday morning, man. It is so nice outside here in this area, the D.C. area, man. It's just, it gotta be about 70 degrees, you know. And it's a good day to be in church or be coming home from church Thursday, and maybe you already had your dinner or or whatever the case might be. You got a word from the church when you went to. Hopefully you got fed enough. Hopefully it'll change your life or whatever the case might be. Praise God. Hopefully in prayer for this broadcast will do whatever you need. Amen. Again, the name of the show is When Christians Speak. Amen. I want to thank those that already began to log on to the show. We do have some things planned. We're going to have a good time. You know, we're just going to worship God. We're going to bless His name. We're going to worship Him. And we're going to worship Him some more. And then we're going to worship Him some more, man. We're just going to have fun and just glorify the name of God. But don't have a guest on for today, but that's okay. I do have some things in the working. And hopefully next Sunday we have a young man by the name of Reverend Francis Mensah. He's a captain in the fire department for Fairfax County, and he will be on hopefully and prayerfully next Sunday at 5 o'clock. I basically told him, I said, man, you got as much time as you want to talk about whatever God has given you to talk about. He is doing some other things. I mean, he's a very busy guy, you know. But you know, you have to read. You can, if you look at the future shows, future broadcasts, you more likely can get a bio of what he's about. And he's a good man. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't have him on the show. You know, I try to ask God to lead me to people that I would think will make a difference in somebody's life once they get on the air. And that's what this show is about. You know, we just don't want to get on the show just for the sake of getting on the air. We want to get on the show so that somebody is be making a difference in somebody's life. And, you know, we're about saving souls and making disciples. That's what we're about. That's what this show is about, you know. I know that our listenership is good, you know, not bragging, but it's good, you know. It could be better, but you know what, again, this is about changing people's lives, man. So anything that we can do on this show with all the people that Sister Pat Randall, she comes on at our 12 noon Thursday prayer and everything, and then I'm back again on Friday, and I'm also Thursday, Friday, and also of course on Sunday. But anything that we can do to make a difference in somebody's life, to change it, you know, or to stop somebody to, God bless you too, Greg, to stop about somebody from just giving up, you know. Be living in a time now that a lot of Christians, man, are just giving up, you know, or throw it in the towel, especially because of job situation or work situation or health. You know, a lot of Christians are going through major health challenges and everything. So the thing is that what we want to do today is we want to encourage you, you know. We want to encourage you, tell you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, you know, and to just be faithful, remain steadfast, you know, and see the salvation of the Lord. The God is working it out in your life, even though it might not appear like it, even though it might not seem like it, and even though you don't know what to do next. And a real funny thing to say is that's probably a good place to be when it comes to us as a relationship with God, is that when we don't know what to do next, that's when we go limp and we say, okay, God, I don't know what to do next in my life. So you got to fix this. You got to worry. You got to take care of it. I mean, that has been my prayer this week. I mean, I was thinking about certain things that I would have to face it and everything. And then I said, God, you know what? I know what you told me. I'm being obedient to what you're saying to me for me to do, you know. But right now I got some stumbling blocks. So, God, you're going to have to fix it. I can't do it. If I put my hands to this thing, I'll make matters even worse than what they are, God. So you're going to have to fix it, and then you have to tell me how you fix it, and then what I got to do next. make sure that I'm still in alignment with you and still in agreement with your will and not my own will, you know. Because let's be for real about this thing, man. You know, we are the most mental people there is in the world, man. We just try to figure things out in a heartbeat. We'll think things through, and there's nothing wrong with that. The only problem when something's wrong with it, when it gets in the way of what God has planned for us, you know, and it sets us back, you know. I believe that what took place with Abraham and Sarah, as if God told them, Abraham, that you're going to have a son of your own seed. Abraham had to go through somebody else and thought it was going to be his butler. I call it a butler, but it was going to be his servant. It wasn't his servant. It thought it was going to be his handmaiden. It wasn't his handmaiden and everything, because he tried to fix it himself. Or even his wife got him involved. But go ahead and sleep with so-and-so and stuff like that, you know, and stuff. But God, man, God always got a way, even as much as we put our hands to and mess it up, God always brought us back in full circle. So the end result of that is that he did end up having a son named Isaac. But the same principle applied for us, you know. Even though we know, and you know that, we're going to mess something up, God always provide a way out for us. Always. You know, always there's a ram in the bush awaiting for us and everything. But we had to go through some things. And when I always talk about it, we had to go through the process of some things just to get there. Amen. We got to do it. We just got to just buckle down. I mean, I think on Friday I talked about the children of Israel being in Babylon and everything, and how God told them to, like, build houses and plant gardens and eat the fruit of it, you know, and get your sons and daughters married and tell them to have babies and all this. All that principle still apply for us today, man. Nothing has changed. You know, we got to just go through it, you know. But know that we're not going through it all by ourselves. To know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, and he is with us, you know. And for us that like to be in charge and in control, because we think we're in control, that's a very difficult place to be in. Because we're not, you know, we want to be in control of everything. We want to be in control of our lives. We want to be in control of our children's lives and what they do and who they see and all that kind of stuff. You know, we want to be in control of those things. But, you know, what if we just all of a sudden just say, you know what, even with our wives and our husbands, just let go and let God. You know, even with our wives and our husbands, we just let go and let God, whether they're alcoholic, whether they're drug user, whether they're a womanizer, whatever, and we just let go and let God. Because the Bible talks about a sanctified wife makes a sanctified husband, a sanctified husband makes a sanctified wife. You know, and I believe that, man. I truly know for a fact that that was during the time, man, when my wife first got back in the church. Y'all, I'm telling you, man, I was mad because I wanted to party, you know. And she was my co-partner in crime as far as going out drinking and partying and doing anything else beneath the sun, you know. So I was not happy when she decided she was going to join a particular church, man. In fact, I was like, I felt like I was competing with her in the church. I know that sounds funny, but I did. I'm like, man, why you gonna let's go out into the club tonight, you know? She said, no, I'm gonna go to church in the morning. All right, next week, let's go out to the club tonight, no. And then I got the enemy in my mind to go out to go to the club by myself, you know. And you know how much, you know, I mean, y'all know there's nothing but trouble out there for a married man when he do that, man. You know, hanging with buddies and friends and stuff like that. But eventually, I can only speak for myself, I begin to miss my wife, you know? So I said, okay, let me go see what this church is all about. And I had the audacity one day and told her, I don't want her to go to church. You know, I had the audacity, I don't want you to go to that church anymore. You know, I want you to stay home with your husband. Be the wife that you're supposed to be. You know what? I threw that in her face, man. Yes, I did. I went there. I went there. I said, that's what I meant. I ain't mad you to be no church woman. I ain't mad you to be a church woman, a church goer, and all that kind of stuff. I said, we supposed to be having fun together. All the kids are gone. Everybody's grown. It's just you and I. You know, we ain't got no responsibilities to speak of and stuff. You know, we do. We travel. At that time, we do a lot of travel. We go where we want, you know, and stuff like that. We supposed to be having fun together, you know. But neither did I say, you know, if Jesus talked about it's hard to kick against the pricks. Man, I went in there one day to that service, man. You know, this is right after my brother had passed away and everything. I went in the church one day, and I think the death of my brother shook me up to a point, you know. I didn't know what to do next in my life, you know. I would wake up in the middle of the night and just broke down and cry, because that was probably the first time in many, 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 many years I actually prayed to God and asked God to save my brother's life. I did. I said, God, you know how we bargain? God, if you heal him, I'll save my, I mean, I'll serve you and I'll go back to church and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I pleaded, man. Listen, when I grew up in the church, I knew about fasting. I would fast and I would just go into prayer. And, God, are you trying to bargain, make a bargain with God, man? I'm trying to make a bargain with God, you know? Needed to say it didn't work because my brother did, still passed away, you know? But before he passed away, and I'm getting ahead of myself, getting off subject, but before he passed away, he looked at me in the eyes, and I talked to him. He said, Roy, you know, or nickname, but he said, Roy, that's a different story, another story for another time. He said, Roy, look, let me tell you, man. He said, I'm saved. I'm sanctified and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I know that I'm going to be okay when I see my Savior, you know? And from that point on, my heart dropped, you know, and stuff like that. You know, and I think a couple of days later he passed on away from here. He did. But I got a chance to talk to him. Of course, he apologized for anything and everything he did, you know, the whole nine yards and everything. You know, he had accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior a while back, you know, but he had gotten to the point that his body was just shutting down on him and everything. And I wept for weeks and months. It was a grieving process that I had to go through. And all I can do is ask God, why? Why? But to get back to what I was talking about, because we're talking about me joining this church, that was the main catalyst that pushed me back into going back to church. Now, my wife was there, but at that time was already going to this particular church. But that began to push me, because then I began to ask myself the question, if I leave this world today, because I thought about what he said, you know, about knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I said to myself, if I leave this world today, will I be able to stand in front of God? Would I know God like that? And the answer came back a resounding no. You know? And I know a lot of times people say that, well, you lose a loved one, you'll see them again. But in what form, you know? Are you going to see them again as a believer, you know? Or are you going to see them again? So, and I'm not preaching fire and brimstone. That's not what I'm about, you know, and everything. But I only can speak for me. For me, that was a changing point in my life. When I decided, I used the old cliche. I think I woke up one Sunday and said, well, if you can't beat them, join them. So I'm going to go ahead and go. It don't look like this is a fad for her. It don't look like this is a phase that she's going through about going to the church. And sure enough, I began to go to church. And soon enough, I think it was on a watch night. New Year's night and everything, that God changed my life. Because I went on a New Year's, you know, which is devil for me, man, going to church on New Year's. Are you kidding me? I'm out and about or whatever, but I didn't want to be without her. So I had a choice. So I made a decision. And this is what this is all about for all of us, is to make a decision on who you're going to serve. I made a decision that night, that New Year's night, to give Jesus Christ to repent of everything and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, what am I saying to you? The opportunity still exists for all of us, you know, even rededication. Listen, let me tell y'all something, man. Now, that don't mean that I was preaching but I still went through some struggles, still went through some changes. But even with that, I continue always, as Paul said, I died daily. I continue to rededicate my life to him, you know, to rededicate my life. God, rededicate my life to you. It's to the point that certain things I used to do, they begin to, the desire for the club and the drinking and all the above stuff begins to fall off. I no longer have the desire to do those things anymore, you know. I only have a desire to be around people. It bothers me when I'm around people that smokes like crazy, you know. But God began to shift those things in me and remove those things in me and everything. And I'm happy, you know. God completely changed my mindset. I was very, very boisterous, very prideful, very somewhat angry. Black man, somewhat of an angry person to deal with and stuff. But God, yes, still began to remove all those things. But and the thing about it, what we have to understand, it did not happen overnight. It took a period of time. But once it was done, man, and I look back on the person that I was, you know, was partying and doing anything and everything under the sun, whether it was trying this thing and trying that thing or whatever the case might be, I look back on my life and I truly can say, you know, God has blessed me. Every part of it, from having a heart attack to having a stroke to going through depression and suicide and all that, God blessed me to be able to come through all of that stuff, man. And if all I can do is get on this broadcast right here, when Christians speak, right, and speak about the goodness and the grace of our Lord and how far that he's brought me and how many times that he has saved me. You know, I always use the terminology time after time after time after time again. That he saved me, he delivered me, you know. Even when I fell down, he picked me up, brushed me off, you know, put a ring on my finger, put a crown on my head, put a robe around me. He did all those things because he loved me. And if he loved me, because he has no respect of person, he can do or will do or has done the same thing for you. Amen. God is so good, man. He is so good. He is so wonderful. And think about it, when you think about it, he is worthy to be praised. You know, he's worthy to be praised. When you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for you, if you are a true believer or you are a follower of the way and everything, you can't help but praise God. You can't help but give him glory. Why? Because he has done great things in your life, man. So that's basically all I'm saying here. Thank you, Greg. I know you're just trying out. But that's all I'm saying. You can't help but give him glory. And that's what his desire is all about. All the glory belongs to him. Amen. All the glory belongs to him. All right. Listen to the show when Chris is speaking. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. Listen, you can reach me at 1-888-488-6772. If you like, I'm also the chat room is open. You can sign into the chat room and send me a prayer request. You also can reach me at when Chris is speak at gmail.com if you have a prayer request or if you'd like to be on the show or any of those kinds of things. So there's all kinds of ways to get in contact with me. Amen. I want to continue on, but I just want to just worship God for a minute and stuff, and glorify him for life and not death, you know. You know, but sometimes we take our breathing for granted, you know. We take our ability to walk or talk for granted. You know, sometimes, man, look, we take even our loved ones or our children or our wife or our husband for granted and everything, you know, until they leave here, they're not here anymore. You know, or to something happen and a change take place and they can't do the things that they used to do when they were doing it and they were doing it well or bad or whatever, you know, but we got to take every moment that we have to appreciate life and to appreciate those that we love and appreciate our family and our children. You know, a while back I had did a broadcast, a special broadcast, I think it was called Dealing with the Youth in Schools and all that kind of stuff. It was probably about a month and a half ago. And in the broadcast, God asked me to designate that time slot for prayer and to talk about our youth and what they was going through, you know, our kids, our children, and what they were facing. You know, this generation that's here now, they're facing something entirely different than what we had to deal with, you know. They are. And our responsibility and our thing is to watch over for them, whether they like it or whether they don't, you know. I'm not talking about abusing them. No, that's not of God, you know, to abuse any child or to do anything that's contrary to the word. It's not of God. But to chastise them in a way out of love and stuff so they'll be able to receive it, so they'll be prepared for whatever that's coming down the pike. Because listen, let me tell you, and I'm not trying to be a prophet or nothing like that, but there's some stuff coming down the pike, man, and it's going to blow our socks off if we're not in a position to deal with whatever's coming down the pike. There is. There's some things that's about to take place in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm, man, that's going to rock our world. And God is calling for the people of God to know him. You know, I mean, that know him and he know us to be in a place of being a posture of prayer and worship and praise with him. So that when those catastrophes and when these things do take place, amen, that we be able to weather the storm, you know, that we're not tossed aside from every wind and doctrine that comes our way. God is requiring us to be in that position of authority, of a power that he's anointed us and called us to do. That's what he's doing for us. He's saying for us, life, now is the time, you know. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you about the hand that is writing on the wall. There's a hand that's been writing on the wall for a while now. The question for us, are we listening? Are we watching the hand? Are we looking at the signs and the wonders that are taking place around us, whether it's the weather, whether it's the government, whether it's wars, whether it's rumors of wars, whether it's men being loving themselves, all of the above, yeah. When the children, you know, not having respect for their elders and all of the above. This is the time right now that we cannot change what's going to take place, but we can be in a place of a posture of prayer and ask God to bring us to it or to make us stronger, not for our namesake, but for his namesake, to the point wherein that those that will receive Jesus Christ, that he has already ordained and everything, that we might be able to grab hold to and begin to minister to them and tell them about the love of God. And even with those that don't know, because you don't know what to call their future hold, you know, because you don't know, all we know is that our desire is just to plant a seed, even if they don't even know Christ as their Lord and Savior, is to plant a seed of hope instead of hopelessness, to plant a seed of being repentant instead of not being able to know what repentance was all about, to live our lifestyle or our life in a form so much to the point where they know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of our life. That's our task. That's not an easy task. And sometimes we get bogged down with things and situations that happen, you know. But God is saying to us, be of good courage. Because Jesus is saying he's already overcome the world, you know. And listen, the thing that we have to understand, praise God for exposing demons. The thing that we got to understand, if they persecuted Jesus Christ, you know, we get bent out of shape when we're going through some major trials and tribulation. If they persecuted Jesus Christ, okay, what do you think they're going to do to you? You know, if they lied on Jesus, if they crucified Jesus on the cross, man, if they beat him, you know, if they spit upon him and stuff, and they call him every name, they call him Beelzebub, and they call him every name that was in the book, what do you think that they're going to do to you and I? What do you think they're going to do to you and I? You know, we want the ice cream part of the dessert and stuff, or the cake part of the dessert, you know. But we don't want to deal with the other stuff that comes with it. There's a work that had to take place of putting that cake together, you know. Praise the Lord, exposing demons. God bless you, man. But, you know, we don't want to deal with it. But God is saying for us right now at this point in our life, man, and I'm speaking to someone out there that's listening to this, either on the air or through the internet right now. God is speaking to the people. God said, it's time out for all the foolishness and all that kind of stuff. It's time out for all that kind of stuff. He's calling for us as believers in Jesus Christ to be for real about who it is that we serve. That's what he's doing. He's calling for us to be for real about who it is that we serve. That's right. In John 15, thank you, Exposing Demon. In John 15, 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you, which is true. Let me tell you something. The world hates you because of who it is who you believe in. The world hates you, you know, and again, I'm going back, I'm playing that little game about Christian, but I like to be called followers of the way. I say that all the time. I say this on the broadcast at least once, you know, because many people call themselves Christians. You know, but very people call them Christ to be Christ-like or followers of the way. You know, but God, if the world hates you as a follower of the way or someone that's trying to be Christ-like, yeah, guess what? If the world hated Jesus, it's definitely going to hate you. And for our thing that we got to understand is we got to note that our Redeemer paid a price for every single thing that we have to face. Whether they talk about you, whether they lie on you, whether they misuse you, whether they beat you, you know. Let me put something to you that's really crazy. You know, in other countries that are Christians, are being, especially in Egypt, because I have some people that are Egyptian, they are Christians, and they're being persecuted like crazy, you know, to the point that they're getting put in jail, they've been beaten up, some of them are being disappeared. What if that took place in this country right here? How many of us would continue to call ourselves as Christians, man? How many of us will continue? God bless you, Exposing Demon. How many of us will continue to call ourselves as Christians? You know, who would do that? You know, would you be willing to stand, you know, and say, yes, I believe in the Son of the Living God? When they threatening to cut off your head, or threatening to throw you in jail, or threatening your family and all that kind, would you still hold on to the faith that you said that you believe in Jesus Christ, that he is Lord? And all you know, see, in church, it's easy to get up and glorify him and worship and sing hallelujah. But can you do that under the duress or threat of death? You know, can you do that? Can you do that when somebody's telling you, I don't want to hear about Jesus, I don't want to hear you talk about Jesus around me, or I don't want to see you praying, or, you know, I don't want to see you witness to somebody. You know, there's relationships with somebody in a marriage that the wife can't even go to church because the husband don't want her to go to church. She got to sneak out just to go to church. Or he don't want her hanging around them Jesus people, you know. That sounds like me with me. That sounds like something I would do with my wife, man. But God, listen, let me tell you, that spouse, whoever you are, whether it's a wife or whatever, God works, man. God can change that person right there in the blink of an eye. He can. He can make them feel like that, or let them go through the whole stretch, send something away that will knock them to their knees to the point where they repent and believe in God. Prime example, look what happened with Saul. Saul was going around there persecuting Christians and putting them in jail, and had a letter to go and do what he had to do. But on the road to Damascus, man, he met somebody that was bigger than he was. Knocked him out like silly, man. Knocked him out. Put him to his knees, made him blind and everything. And the first thing I'm talking about, Lord, what would you have me do? Don't you see that? If God did it for someone like us that was a destroyer of those that were followers of the way, what do you think you'd do to that spouse that you're trying to deal with that would not let you come to church? What do you think you'd do to that child of yours, or that person that you that's persecuting, even on that job, that's persecuting you because you believe in Christ Jesus? You know, what do you think he'll do? You know, listen, a lot of times we fight battles that we ain't got no business of fighting. But why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. It's God's battle. God requests for us right now, at this point in our life, is to let him be God in our life. You know? And that's his request for us. For me and Ray included. God, be God in my life. Complete it to a point where that I begin to take my hands off the steering wheel. To the point where I don't rely on my own head knowledge, my intellect, my emotions. You know, but look, let's stop right there. Your emotion will get you in so many troubles, man. Your emotion will cause you to make decisions, man, that's way off in left field based off of your emotions because you feel in a certain way. You know? Your emotion will send you goosebump experience and you thinking it's from God and it ain't from God and God ain't said nothing about that. But you have what they call a goosebump experience. That's what your emotions do, you know? You know, so emotions, I mean, God, keep all those things under subjection to me. So that the only thing that that's focusing on, the only thing that I'm looking on, the only thing that's resurfacing out of me is your will and your way and your prayer. I mean, and my prayer to you, God, is that you begin to fix me up, restore what the cankerworm and the locust and the palmer worm and I forget the last one. I think it's grasshopper, but I think I said locust and grasshopper, the same thing. But we begin to restore those things that have been eaten in me, God, you know. Begin to restore those things. Fix me inside out and outside in to the point, God, that I begin to trust you more and more and more and more and more each day. It's a process. It's a process. And unfortunately, it's like weight training, you know. When somebody's lifting weights and they're going through the weight losing and all that kind of different thing, none of that stuff is easy. You know, trust me, I know. I've been there too. None of those things is easy, you know. But as we continue to exercise our faith, and as we continue to be obedient to the things of God, something miraculous will take place. And then we begin to look back over our life and say, wow, I'm no longer at point A. I'm all the way up down here by point C. And it's truly by the grace of God operating in our life that we begin to trust him more. And he began to increase more of our faith in him to the point that we get to the point that stuff that used to bother us don't even bother us anymore, man. It doesn't bother us anymore. Amen. Listen, you listen to the show When Christians Speak. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. The telephone number here is 888-488-6772. Or you can chat into the chat room. You can also reach me at whenchristiansspeak@gmail.com. If you have a prayer request, by all means, call in. Broadcasting live from the Washington, D.C. area. And we're just talking. We're just talking like you talk to your best friend, you know, and just witnessing to each other. We're not doing anything. Especially, I do have had an outline and everything, but God is telling me to go something a totally different way. So we're going to be obedient to him. We're going to be obedient to him, you know, because that's what this is all about. This is about our Father, which is not in heaven, you know. This is what it's about. You know, I'm praying right now that this broadcast will begin to touch people, man, in their marriages and in their relationships, you know. For those that might have given up on faith or given up on church, you know. There's a lot of people that are going through hurts because of hurt. There ain't no hurt like a church hurt. I think I said it the way I wanted. There's no hurt like a church hurt, man. I'm telling you for real, boy. You get some church hurts going on, boy, that thing hurts like crazy. Two hurts, family hurt and church hurts. You know, family, you sound like, eh. But church, man, you'd be like, okay, wait a minute. They're supposed to be a preacher. They're supposed to be a bishop. Or they're supposed to be a follower of the way. And they hurt like crazy, man. Those two have a family hurt. And church hurt, man. Mm-mm-mm. Only way you can get through those things is God have to deliver you from it, you know. And if you were listening to the broadcast on Thursday, Thursday 12, Sister Pat ran up and talking about forgiveness. You have to get to a place where you just forgive. You know, you have to get to a place where you just automatically just say, okay, God, I want to forgive. And it's even that, because the whole thing, everything we've been talking about so far is a process. Some people, you know, not putting God in the box, it can happen like that. But in most cases, it's a process, man. You got to forgive that person that raped you when you were 12 years old. I know you don't want to hear that, but you do. You know, you got to forgive that man that had incest with you, or your uncle that had incest with you, or something like that. You got to forgive them, you know. You know, you don't have to like what they did, of course, but you still got to forgive them if you said you're a born-again believer. You got to forgive that abusive spouse, you know, that left you with nothing, you know, or that father that's not taking care of his kids. You got to forgive them. As a Christian, we got no choice but to forgive them and put them on the altar, man. And you know what? Once we put those things and all these distractions and all these headaches and tear jerkers, man, and tears and all that kind of, once you put them on the altar, the task for us become to leave them there. You know? And again, we go back to the process. You know? Because leaving it there at the altar ain't always easy. It ain't always easy. There's been many days, man. I said, okay, I'm leaving it at the altar. And I go right back, man. And the next day, right after I get into the church parking lot, I'm picking it back up again. That's the nature of who we are. But the process, God, is that, Lord, if I can't leave it all that at once, let me leave a piece at a time. So, okay, God, here's another piece for you today. Okay, here it is. Next Sunday. Okay, God, here's another piece. Okay, here's Bible says Thursday. Okay, God, there's another piece for you today. Okay? You begin to leave pieces like that at a time to God, man. Then the next thing you know, it's like, you know what? Don't even bother me anymore. You know what? I forgave you almost 2 months ago. I don't even think like that anymore towards you. You know what? You begin to minister to the person that did you wrong to a point where, you know what, all I can say, all I care about for you is that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's it. Everything else goes back to the dust in a way. But you have to know Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. You get to the point where you look them right in the eyes. You know what? Even with what you did, I thank you. For what you meant to evil, God is turning around for my good. And because of that, man, all I can say to you is stuff. It said, thank you, because you have made me your, God made you my stepping stone to a point where I don't even think the same way anymore. That I've been redeemed, that I've been changed, that I look and I think entirely different. With all that you did to me to put me up, throw me into the bus, God has fixed it and turned around. Now I'm your boss. Now I'm your boss, man. But the thing that I want us all to realize that we have to come to the terms of the knowing of the process, you know. And again, the process, whatever the process may be, whether it be healing, whether it be deliverance, the process is not always easy. It's not, y'all. It's not always easy. Sometimes the process go like, God, when is this going to be over? You know, God, I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. But you know what? Even in the midst of our weakness, that's when he becomes strong with us and said, I got you now. Let me help you hold this thing. Why don't you take up my yoke and my burdens? For my yoke is easy, my burdens are light. You know, that's what he does for us, man. But all of it, everything I've been saying about, it's a process. It's a process. And the thing about it, we fail to realize, I see we got some other listeners on the line. But the thing that we fail to realize that the process, y'all, you know, is not just for us. We get blessed if we make it through the process. But the process is to be a testimony for somebody else, you know. A testimony to the point where you can do like Peter. After Peter said all the things about Jesus and left Jesus, you know, and said, I never know the man and cussed him. Be like Peter. Then Peter was used to be a rock to speak into 5,000 souls. The 5,000 souls to be saved. So you know we don't know the end result of the thing, you know, that we have in the face, you know, because we can't see that far. It took me though, if we could see that far, we wouldn't know to do it what we saw anyway. So it's never meant for us to see that far. But God knows the beginning and the end. Why? Because He's Alpha and Omega. And if He knows the beginning and the end thing, and one of the things that I talked to on Friday is that He knows the end result of a thing and everything, why not just trust Him and believe Him and know that He's got it? And I know that He's going to work it out in our favor, man. He's going to work it out in our favor. Why not just believe that? Rather than hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness and all that kind of stuff, rather than hold on to even sickness, man. Even though hold on, you know, we hold on to sickness and stuff because we think that's who we are. But that's not who we are. One of my favorite brothers at church, but he said, listen, I want my body to work. Oh, he was talking about his son. He said, I want my son's body to work the way God created it to work from the start. Even with all the stuff that goes on with him, you know? And that same principle applies for us, man. That we gotta, God, whatever is going on with me, I know that you created me in the beauty of your holiness. You shaped me, you formed me, but more than that, you breathe your spirit into me, God. Right now, I want everything that I'm supposed to be in your eyesight to take place in me and everything, even if it's going through a process. But God, allow me to go through the process and to be stronger in you, God. Equip me with whatever is needed, God, with praise, with worship, with prayer, you know, with long-suffering, with love, with forgiveness. Equip me with all the fruits and all the gifts of the Spirit that is needed for me to be able to get through the process, God. Equip me with it. Allow me to be stronger in you. Allow me to seek out for the things of you. Because I can't do this by myself. I can't do this by myself, God. And that's what he says, you know what? You're right. That Jesus Christ paid a great cost for you. And because he paid that cost for you and everything, I'm going to be God in your life the way that I said I was going to be for you. See, the thing that we fell in, God ain't never left us. Jesus ain't never left us. He's always there for us. It's that we're the one that's always, we go through a period or a time that we're backsliding. But Christ is saying, look, I'm ready to the backsliders, man. You know, trust me, believe in me, hold on to me, have faith in me, you know, look to me, you know, look to the hills will come as your faith, you know. Why? Because your help coming from the Lord. Your help, y'all, is in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. It's not, as I've said before, it's not in your intellect, it's not in anything that you have, it's not in your bank account, it's not in your money, but your help is in Jesus Christ, man. And if we can get to that point and hold on, and as I stated before with my first sign in, hold to his hand, then we'll understand, you know, where our help comes from. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to take a couple of seconds and play a little music. And then we're going to come back and talk some more. Maybe I get to what some of the stuff that God has given me. I don't know, man, but we'll play it by ear. But I thank you for those listening in. You listen to When Christians Speak. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. We're broadcasting live from the Washington, D.C. area. Amen. God is good. And I'm praying that this broadcast has been a blessing to you. I thank those that are on the flash chat room. Thank you. God bless you. For those that are listening or that have called into the show and listen on the internet, even for those that are listening by the archives, you know, there's like about 20 episodes of broadcast archives that God has given us over a period of time. I do encourage you to listen to Thursday noonday prayer with Sister Pat Randall, and also listen to Friday. We do have some miraculous and great things taking place on our Sundays at 5 o'clock. Everything, we got some great people that's coming for us, some great preachers and great speakers coming before you. And we're also going to do a lot of different things. Right now, we are broadcasting on the iTunes or iStore channel and everything, and God is doing some miraculous work with that. Amen. But again, this is not about numbers or popularity. This is about being a servant of the Most High God. This is about reaching out to the masses that know Christ Jesus, the Lord and Savior, and don't know Him as the Lord and Savior. Amen. Listen, let me do a quick prayer. Amen. I have about 20 minutes left. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the words that were speaking, being spoken, and are being spoken to, God. We pray that you will bless the people of God that are called by your name. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will begin, God, to fix whatever things that are broken, Lord. That you begin to restore whatever things that need to be restored. That you begin to heal, God. That you begin to deliver. That you begin to make whole whatever needs to be taken care of. We pray, Father, right now, by your power and by your might, in Christ Jesus' name, God, that you will come into the lives of even of our enemies, God, and save their soul. That wherever Judas is, God, that we begin to thank God for Judas, is a stepping stone. But we begin also to pray for Judas, God, that he may be saved, God. We pray for those that are going through financial difficulty because of work, of lack of work, or whatever, God. We pray for those that are suffering through diseases of cancer, God, and of AIDS, God. We pray also for those, God, that even thought about or have a desire to commit suicide, God. We lift out a prayer to them right now, Jesus, that you will save their life, that you will come in like a mighty rushing wind, God, and present yourself to them, God, that you will speak in the stillness of the night and present yourself to them, God. You speak in a small, still voice, God, and present yourself to them, God. Or you will send people, God, of righteousness and virtue to them, God, just in the nick of time to save them from doing something, God, that is not right, God. To save them from taking their own life or the life of someone else, God. We continue to pray for the youth and our youth teachers and our school system and those that are in government. We continue to lift up those things to you, God. We pray, God, that you will come in like and do whatever is necessary in their life, God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for just loving on us. Loving us, God, in whatever state that we're in, God, that a change might take place. Loving us, God, no matter how many times we are falling down, or how many times we're about to eat the slop from the pig pen, God, but a change took place. A process began to take place, God, that changes, God, to a point where, Lord Jesus, that we come running home to you. A change in the process, Lord Jesus, to the point we decided to make you our Lord and Savior above all things. So we've said this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Amen. God and talking about a lot of different subjects about going through different things and going through the process and knowing that God is with us and he's able to deliver us and just continue to have faith and believe, you know, and when we don't believe, say, God, I believe, but help my unbelief, you know. So we just having some fun and just dealing with things, you know, and having some prayer and just speaking some things into existence, you know, and causing those things not as though they were, amen. So we're dealing with this thing in a spiritual realm. Because that's who we're dealing with. This is a spiritual warfare, you know. And you can't take that thing that is carnal and try to deal with something that's spiritual in a carnal mindset. It ain't going to work. To use that kind of bad grammar, it's not going to work, you know. So you got to do spirit to spirit, man. It's a spiritual warfare. You got to do spirit to spirit. You know, and then the prayer becomes that whatever's done in the spirit, by the righteousness of God, by the grace of the mercy of God, because of prayer and fasting, yeah, and because of the reading of the word and everything, and because of believing that God is and he will do exactly what he said, but manifest himself in the spirit. That's the prayer, yeah. That's the prayer, amen, that God is good, that he would do exactly what he said he would do. You know, listen, I want to do this real quick, and I only got about 15 minutes. I probably don't have enough time to complete it, you know, but I want to tell you right now that eternal life, you know, is for you. You know, eternal life is for you. I want to tell you also right now that we have authority over spirits of doubts, fear, and unbelief, and we want all this stuff to be replaced with the spirit of faith. We're praying for the spirit of faith, you know, that faith that you have, you know, the measure that he gives our every last one, that we pray that we operate in 100 degree of the measure that he gives us. I don't care if it's mustard seed faith. That one needs all of the mustard seed. The prayer because, God, let me operate in all of the mustard seed faith. If it's mountain faith, God, let me operate in all of the mountain faith. Look, let me tell you something. In this day and time, you need all of it. We need all of it, man. You know, because there are so many distractions and so many things that are going on around us and stuff, you know, and so many noise being made in the atmosphere to take us off point, to take us off the things that God is. So we need, look, God, I want everything that you said I supposed to have, I want to operate in it completely, you know? You know, and then I want to operate in it completely to the point where I don't find myself becoming self-righteous or think that I have arrived. You know, or thinking that I'm a rider, thinking that I got it like that, because 2, 3, 0, ain't none of us got it like that, man. You know, we're like muffin of my pound. We're in the process that we have to die daily. This is a daily battle, you know. This is a daily battle to keep those things, keep our flesh under subjection. It is. We have to fight every single day, sometimes 3 or 4, 5 times a day to keep the flesh under subjection. We do, man. You know, we have to fight to keep our faith in a place and an authority that God has ordained us. And we have to fight like that. We do. We're in a battle, man, and the enemy is totally against us. He's doing everything in his power to cause us to fall. Doing everything in his power. He's doing, in other words, y'all, he is doing his J-O-B, you know. He is doing exactly what he's what's been called to do, what he's been chosen to do. He's doing exactly what he thinks is right to get us to take down and to make God and to make us to as Joe told his wife, as Joe's wife told him to curse your God and die. You know, he's doing everything in his power to make us give up, you know, or allow us not to rejoice, you know. And or allow us not to praise God when we feel like and when we don't. Or allow us not to praise God, you know, when circumstances are bad and doors are being shut on our face. God wants us to praise him in spite of all of that. Not because of whether the door is open or closed, but because he is God. God, let our praises be to a point that we worship you because you are God, you know. That you are Lord of our lords. You are Jehovah Jireh. You know, you are God. You are a banner, you know. So that when the enemy comes against us like a flood, you said, see, and that's the part we got to understand. God, you said, we got to remind, God, you said that you would raise up a standard or a banner against them, you know. And so, God, we look at you and say, okay, God, we're waiting for your banner to be raised up because our enemy is trying to take us out. We're waiting for your banner to be raised up in us, Lord Jesus, so that the praise of usher from our mouth, even when we don't feel like it. We're waiting for a banner to be raised up in us to a point, God, that we begin to glorify you and magnify you and confuse the enemy and confuse our friends and confuse our family and everything. Can they try to figure out why in the world is going on with him? Look at him. They just diagnosed him with cancer or they just diagnosed him with a bad heart and they got to replace everything, every part of the heart and everything. He is praising them. They just decided that they had to cut off one of his limbs and he's still up there praising and worshiping and glorifying God, you know, even without one limb or even with even when they think they have made, they didn't think that he had lost his mind. Look at him worshiping God and glorifying him and magnifying. Look at him. He's supposed to be dead. Why? How did he look? How did Lazarus get to the point that he is that he worshiping God right now? You know, The people in the world are mad. I mean, but we as Christians shouldn't be surprised about the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. We shouldn't be surprised what God is doing in our life. We shouldn't be surprised when God began the move of the Holy Spirit is so great and so wonderful that so when a drunk man come in our presence, he become instantly stable, sober to the point that Jesus Christ saves his life. You know, we shouldn't be surprised that when a prostitute comes to the point and she throw herself down at the mercy seat of Jesus and stuff like that just to be saved, you know. We should be surprised when someone got a gun to their head about to blow their brains out, but mercy comes in and say no. You know, you've been bought with a price. You belong to me, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and save them. And they become a great witness, you know, in the body of Christ and in the world that God can save. God is still saving. They become a miracle, a living, walking miracle among men and women to see the grace and the mercy of God, to see how far that God has brought them. They become those things. It happens daily. We don't hear about it a lot in the news because the media and stuff like that is not in the Christian's best interest. So they'll tell you about this person did that, that person did that, but they don't tell you about how somebody was saved and how somebody was delivered and how a family of five came and gave their life to Jesus Christ because their grandmother was healed or their grandmother was raised from the dead. They don't tell you about stories about how someone received Jesus Christ in their life because they were blind, but now they see, and they can see clearly now. They don't tell you the story that how they used to see men as trees, but now because Jesus washed and made them whole, they can see men as men, and they don't tell you about stuff like that. No, they don't tell you, you know, that soldier that went over to a war and stuff like that, and he was on his last leg and everything, and the enemy fire was about to take him out, and he said a prayer, and that prayer, because of that prayer, saved not only his life, but saved those that he was around, because he decided at that point in time in life, with bullets flying all around him, when the enemy tried to take him out, and everything, that God reigns in his life. They don't tell you about the young boy and stuff like that, that was going through an abusive relationship with a loved one and everything, that was being raped and tore down and all this kind of stuff, but yet still God came in the nick of time and sent somebody to rescue him and take him out of the environment and treat him as a son and raise him up as a son and everything and begin to provide to them and begin to show love and affection to them. They don't tell you about those things because we need to, you know, they don't tell you about those things, but I'm telling you that those things are taking place daily in our life. Why? Because this is the move of the Holy Spirit. This is God being God in our life. This is when we know that God is coming for us. This is when we know that the things that are in the secret are being brought out to the light. Why? Because God is being God in our life. You know, those miracles are happening daily. You know, somebody's been healed from breast cancer right now as we speak. You know, somebody's being delivered right now, you know, from prostate cancer even as we speak, man. It's happening right now in the spiritual realm. Somebody been left off of dead, shot up, beat up, stabbed, kicked in the ground, and left on the street to die. But yet still God, in all his grace and mercy, is sparing their life when the enemy left them for dead. That taking place as we speak, man. Someone don't even have food on their table. But God is making a way to show them that he is God. Somebody don't have rent, but God is making a way to show them, you know. God is doing all these things. Yeah, and every time, and we don't even realize it. They happen all around us, man. All kind of miraculous stories that are being told. You know, the question for you and I, what has God done for you? You know, what is your miraculous thing that took place in your life, you know, that completely changed your life? You know, who have you told about your story, about your testimony? You know, who have you shared to the point where that God brought you through a process from point A all the way to point C, but you had to go through point B also? What process are you testifying that God brought you through? Who and what are you doing right now as a witness of God? Are the miracles he has performed in your life, time after time after time after time, time after time, time again, you know? How many miracles, listen, my time is running out. How many miracles would it take for you to realize that God is with you, you know? How many miracles would it take for you to believe that he is on your side? How many miracles would it take to let you know that he loves you unconditionally, you know? no love. You know, there's no condition on his love. How much would it take you to realize that he got you, that he promised never to leave you or forsake you, no matter what? How much would it take you to realize that, that he was even by your side, even now? That even when you're sleeping, he's with you. When you wake up the first thing in the morning, he's with you. When you go to work, he's with you. When you get in your car, he's with you. He's with you. He promised never to leave you or forsake you. You know? What does it take for us as Christians to wholeheartedly believe that? Why do we have to doubt or question whether God is with us and stuff like that when he shows us all the signs in the world, when he's always reminding us and showing us, even if it's just the cool of the day or even if it's just the wind blowing? What would it take for us to believe that God is with us, that he's with us, that he's with us, and that he's with us? What would it take? What would it take, y'all? What would it take for us to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? What would it take for us to be at rest and to be at peace with the thing and stuff, and to leave it in his hand and to take our hands off the steering wheel and just to trust God no matter what? God, help me to get to that point where that I don't look at the circumstances or what's around me, but trust you no matter what and believe in the word. If you said it, it will come to pass, God. Help us to get to that point that we just fall on our faces and worship you and glorify your name. Help us, God, to get to that point where no matter what we're facing in our life, that we make a decision to go through the process knowing that the victory is already ours, knowing that Jesus Christ paid for it at the cross, knowing that when he was resurrected, you know, it was done deal, man. It was a finished work, which is why we call him Christ Jesus. It's completed, you know, knowing that, man, knowing that, and believing that, holding on to that, you know, and moving on with that, and speaking that, you know, and believing that, and trusting in that, trusting in God, trusting in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and knowing that he has us. Knowing that he has us. Amen. Listen, you're listening to the show When Christians Speak. Amen. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. We're broadcasting live from the Washington, D.C. area on a Sunday. Amen. God is good. Yes, he is. All the time. We also broadcast on Thursday noon with our noonday prayer with Sister Pat Randall. And we broadcast on Friday at 7 p.m. For a show called The Friday Night Joy. We are working on some things in the midst to add some more broadcasts and to bring some more different people of God into the show, into the atmosphere of this. People that have a love for the people of God, and people that want to preach the gospel to the people of God, and people that want people or folks or pastors or reverends or who are sisters or brothers that have a desire, you know, to set the captives free, you know, and to speak life and not death into the people of God. This is what this When Christians Speak show is all about, you know. We haven't fortunately gotten into talking about news, and that's probably later. But right now, let's just focus on Christ Jesus, you know. Let's focus on you, and let's focus on restoring your hope, and let's focus on restoring your joy and letting you know that God is with you. Let's focus on the love of God that's operating in your life and to let you know that he loves you and he can't do a thing about it. Let's focus on those things first. And everything else will take care of his place, you know. Everything else will take care of his take care of itself. We believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. God is good, y'all. He is. Amen. I'm gonna play a little bit of music. Wait a minute, I gotta do my horn. Where my horn? Oh, I think I passed it. But a chauffeur horn. Remember, y'all, here we go. Chauffeur's horn there. Amen. Yeah, that's the battle cry for you as a Christian. God is calling your name wherever you are, whoever you are, what kind of circumstance or situation you may be in. God is calling your name right now that you come forth and bring forth praise, bring forth preaching and teaching and discipleship to the God is calling your name right now. even though you might be faced with all difficulties and sickness and disease, God is calling your name. Amen. Bless God. Bless God. Listen to the show when Chris is speaking. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. Come on, everybody, praise the Lord, glorify Him, magnify His name, because His mercy is doing forever and ever. He is the great I Am. He is our God. He is our Lord and our God. He's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and end. He's our Savior. He's our God.
I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus face to face. Don't you wanna see Jesus? Yes, I wanna see Jesus in that heaven.